Good morning. Good morning, church. How y'all doing? It's great out there, right? We got snow on the ground. Anyone excited about snow? You are like my son. He has been pining for snow for weeks. He's 3 years old, literally to the point of throwing a fit on the ground, like in mourning. Daddy, I just want the snow. And we were just frustrated with it for a while. We were like, how do we get this kid to stop? And then I was like, wait, take him to the window. We showed him. We said, look at the trees. We said, you see the trees? There's leaves on them. When the leaves are gone, the snow will come, and you can watch for that anytime you want. Go look at the window. And yesterday we were driving, and he just looked out the window, and he happened to notice, and he says, Dad, the leaves are gone. The snow's coming. I said, yeah, that's right. The snow's coming. The snow is coming. And he was ecstatic last night when it snowed. First thing up, they usually sleep till 8, 7 a.m., both of them, up at the window. Snow, it stayed on the ground. They were so excited. And what's awesome about that is the snow is coming. Like, we knew it's coming, but we have this idea to look for it. And today we're celebrating baptisms. And baptisms is looking back at what Christ has done for us, looking at what he's doing in our life. But it's also a looking ahead, an expectation of what we experience here, this new life. We know it's going to get better. Like, we're going to experience the fullness of new life when we are with him forever. And so there's a looking back, a looking at what he's doing in our midst, but also a looking ahead. And so I'm just going to pray as we dive into this time of celebrating these baptisms. Lord, I thank you for this morning. Lord, I thank you that you are an amazing God who created everything. And that when we were missing the mark, Lord, that you stepped into our world to be amongst us, Lord, to be among us and to do what we couldn't do for ourselves. Lord, I thank you for the stories that we're going to hear today, the lives who have been transformed, and these acts of obedience today, of people taking a step of obedience and faith in you, Lord, and being baptized. Lord, I pray that you would meet us in this space. God, whatever is going on in our lives and our hearts, Lord, I pray that we could be still in this moment and we could celebrate your power and what you are doing in these lives and also what you have already done in many of our lives and what you want to do in the future. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. There was a time where Jesus was walking and he went to the Jordan River and John the Baptist was there and he was baptizing people and Jesus went to him and said, I need to be baptized. And at first John didn't want to, but then he did and he baptized Jesus. And it says that when he went into the water and came out, a dove, the Holy Spirit descended on him like a dove. And it said there was a voice from heaven that said, this is my son, who brings me great joy. Who brings me great joy. This is the Father speaking over his son. And I love baptisms because why do we get baptized? At least three reasons. The first is it's following the example of Jesus. He did it himself. And that he has called us sons and daughters of God. And what's beautiful is the Father spoke from heaven and said, "This he brings me great joy." And I think there's a piece of that in each of us that it brings him great joy. It says when one sinner repents, the heavens rejoice. And how much more when we take steps of obedience, that God is delighted in those who take the step of obedience of baptism. Another is it's the command. It's so that we obey what Christ has commanded. At the end of his ministry, he said, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And so there's just a simple response of obedience to his command that he has asked us to do this. And what I love about that is he's an experiential God. It's not just we believe it and it's that. He wants us to experience it. He wants us to know that we are new creation, that we are washed, that the old life is gone, the new is here. And for me, that was a powerful moment when I was a college student because I had known Christ and grew up in the church and ran from him. And there came a point where at 19 years old, I fully surrendered and I finally got baptized. And all the sin and the stain that I felt in my life, I knew it was gone. I knew I was forgiven. But there's something even more powerful when we get to experience going down in the water, which is like going down in the grave with Christ and being risen from the dead like Christ and coming to new life and just being soaking, wet, and washed, knowing that the stain of sin is gone, that what I knew in my heart was now experienced outwardly. And it was just a beautiful moment in my own life of
of being washed clean before God in his mercy and his grace. And it's that public declaration that we are a disciple of Christ, that we are choosing to follow and be a part of his family in our life. So those are some of the whys, but what does it illustrate? It illustrates at least four things. The first we've already mentioned, it's the idea that in Christ, this is the grave. And Christ went down into the grave and he rose again. He came out of the grave. So it's representative of his own death and resurrection. And then when we do it as a follower of Christ, when we obey this command and we are laid down in the water, it's like we're being laid in the grave with Christ. Our old life is gone. We are risen up to new life in Christ. And it's this powerful image. It's what Colossians 2 says, "For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with him you were raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead." It's trusting in the mighty power of God with our life. It does those two things. It illustrates those at least. And what's beautiful about that second piece is when we're laid in the grave, Jesus laid down his life. He had to trust in the Father himself to raise him up out of the grave. And what's beautiful is we are in the same way. When we go into the water, someone is baptizing us. And you don't just go underwater and pop up. Like, you're laid down and someone else, you're reliant on someone else to pull you up and out, which is an image of Christ himself pulling us out into new life, out of the darkness. And I mentioned the third thing is cleansing and washing us away and how that was impactful in my own life at age 19, being baptized and experiencing that wash and renewal. And it says, Titus 3:3-7 says, "At one time we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God, our Father, appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we have done, but because of his mercy." His mercy is that we don't get what we deserve. We deserve the cross in our sin and disobedience, and he took it for us. And then it goes on and it says, he saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that, having been justified by his grace — grace is getting what you don't deserve — that we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. We have so much in Christ that we don't deserve. It's his mercy and his grace. And it says that he poured out on us generously his Holy Spirit who washes us. And there's an image of that in baptism, that we are washed and clean. We are made new. And the fourth thing that it does is it illustrates the new life that we have as a disciple walking with Christ. 2 Corinthians says, "Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ who died and was raised for them. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. How differently we know him now." Is that true in your life? Do you know Christ differently now than you did before? That's for all of us. Whether you've been saved and baptized for years or decades, do you know him differently now than you did yesterday, than you did last week? Because he is wanting to make himself known to us. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. The new life has begun. And all this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to himself. For God in Christ was reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, "Come back to God. Come back to God." And I think there's some who might be in this audience today who that's where you're at. It could be things in the world, the election, all that's going on in the world, the wars, that you're just drifting a little. You're a little anxious. You're a little fear. And God's saying, come back. Come back. Center yourself on me. Do it today. For some of you, you've been running from God. Your story is like mine. You ran from God. You have sinned. You have done things. And you're like the prodigal son or daughter. And he's saying, come home. Come back to me today. come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sins so that we could be made right with God through Christ. That's not what you do. There's nothing you can do to come back to God and make it right. Christ has already done it. He is the one. He ran the perfect race for you, for me. He forgives you. He removes the stain of sin and washes you white as snow. What a great reminder that is all over the ground today. He puts his Holy Spirit within you to guide and direct and comfort, to strengthen, to fill you with peace and joy. The Holy Spirit's also the deposit in our life, guaranteeing where we're going. And your life can be filled with meaning and purpose as you live for him and not for yourself. And he calls you his child. We have a good, good father. We are sons and daughters of the King of Kings. You are a part of an incredible family. And he enables you to say, you belong to. That we can say to everyone around us, you belong to. This is why Christ came. He ran a perfect race for us. Yesterday, I went and I ran a turkey trot. I have a picture. I ran a 5K and a 10K, which got me an iron turkey. I know, pretty exciting. And what's amazing is I ran through this race, and it was hard, and it was, you know, I'm pushing the stroller, and my wife would have been there with us, but she had to work, and so I'm out there, and it was cold, and we were like, should we do it? It might rain. And they're like, no, they want to do it. Like, my kids wanted the adventure, and they wanted the medals, because I said I would give them to them. And we prayed that it wouldn't rain, that it would snow, and it's exactly what happened. And as we crossed the finish line of the second race, the guy stopped me. He couldn't see my bib number, and he's, like, announcing people, and he stops me. He says, whoa, 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 what's your name? I said, my name's Jason. And he goes, Jason has just finished the iron turkey for his whole family. And in that moment, I was like, yeah, and it was great. And then as I was driving back, it just hit me that is the gospel. That Christ ran the perfect race for his entire family. That we didn't do anything. My kids sat wrapped in blankets. They ate candy every 2 miles. They didn't do anything. And they got shirts and numbers and medals. And that's what Christ offers us. That he said, I ran the perfect race. Just believe. It's not just, I have faith in you. No, it's get in the cart with him and let his race be your race. And that's what we're celebrating here today, is that men and women are going to come up here and they're going to share stories of how their lives have been transformed, where what Christ did for them, they have received and believed. And they're living this new life. And they're going to go down in here symbolically as an outward expression of the inward change that's already happened. They're going to experientially be laid to rest with Christ and risen to new life, washed clean and declaring before God that this is that he is their father. That they're a son or a daughter, and that his race was run for them. And it's so powerful because I ran this race, I barely made 9 miles. I can't get them to heaven, my own kids. But thank God that he sent his son to run the race for us. And we're celebrating that today. So when you hear these stories, hear your own story. Because in these stories, I hear my story. It's your story. It's what we have lived and what Christ has come to do.